Today we are going to exercise testing intrusion detection system and the abstract IDS model. These two topics are actually related because in the exercise about the abstract models, we are actually going to compute some indicators of quality of intrusion detection as well. So a typical example regarding testing of IDS is this first one. If IDS has tested some number of events, like 1,000 in this case, and then we say of these events, 200 events were classified as intrusions and confirmed true intrusions by an expert, which means that these are true positives. Then 700 events were classified as normal and confirmed to be normal by an expert. These are obviously true negatives. Then 90 events were classified as intrusions, but an expert disconfirmed that. So these are false positives. Finally, 10 events were classified as normal, but an expert disconfirmed that. That was 10 false negatives. Now, what we can do with this is, of course, to compute the true positive rate, the true negative rate, the false positive rate, the false negative rate, and the base rate. Then we can compute the total probability of an alarm, and then we can use this total probability of an alarm to compute the positive predictive value, or Bayesian detection rate, of this IDS. Now, we shall see when we do that, that this positive predictive value is not satisfactory. You're going to see that about two-thirds of alarms will actually originate from the real intrusions when you substitute all these numbers in the formulas. Then we have to determine. The task is to determine the false positive rate at which we reach the Bayesian detection rate of 99%. So that's more realistic. Another possibility, okay, we ask the attacker to attack us more. So what base rate the environment must have to achieve the same PPV of 99% if we do not change our parameters of the IDS at all? So that's our first task. And then the second task, well, the same data, so the same IDS, we have to compute the intrusion detection capability. So that's already related to the abstract IDS model. But first things first, we do the computation, the task one. So the input data, as we said, true positives 200, true negatives 700, false positives 90, false negatives 10. When we sum up, this must be 1,000, okay? Because that's the total number of events. Then the true positive rate is the number of true positives divided by the total number of attacks. And the total number of attacks is the number of attacks that we have detected, which means true positives, plus the number of attacks that we do not have detected, so this is false negatives. So true positives divided by true positives plus false negatives. So this is the total number of attacks among these 1,000 events, which gives 0.952, which is not bad at all. So most of the attacks we do detect. Then the true negative rate is the number of non-attacks that we have detected correctly divided by the total number of non-attacks, which are the number of detected non-attacks plus the false positives. So that's 1,000 minus the total number of attacks, which is 790. And here we had 210 attacks, which sums up to 1,000. So that's easy. So we get 0.886, the true negative rate. The next one is the false positive rate, which is the number of false positives divided by the total number of non-attacks. So the false positives plus the true negatives. So this gives 90 divided by 90 plus 700. This is 0.114. So our false positive rate is more than 11%, which is bad. So we don't like it at the first glance. Yeah? Finally, the false negative rate, the total number of attacks that we did not detect divided by the total number of attacks in this sample of 1,000 events. So that gives 0.048, which is okay, let's say, 5%. Well, it's also bad. We would like it to be even more. But it's better than this indicator, okay? So with true positive rate, we are pretty satisfied. But with false positive rate, we are not so much satisfied. So you see, this number, the true negative rate, plus the false positive rate, they must give 1. And this number, true positive rate, plus the false negative rate, they also must give 1, because they are related. These are the attacks, and these are non-attacks. Now, what's the base rate? It's the total number of attacks, the ones that we have detected, plus the ones that we did not detect, divided by the total number of events, which is, in our case, 0.21, which is a relatively high base rate. So that's, I think, much more than what we have today in our university. We should consult the IT department for this, but it's probably smaller than that on the everyday basis. So in some extreme cases, it may be more. But we are not heavily under attack. So this 0.21 is actually pretty much in practice. So every fifth event is an attack. Now, what is the total probability of an alarm? It's the probability of intrusion, which is the base rate, times the probability of alarm if intrusion, which is the true positive rate, you see, plus the probability of no intrusion, which is 1 minus base rate, times the probability of alarm if no intrusion, which is the false positive rate. When we substitute the values, we get that it is 0.29 approximately. Okay, so the total probability of an alarm, which we can use in the positive predictive value formula, so it goes to the denominator. Okay. So what is the probability of intrusion if we have an alarm from this system? When we substitute these values, the base rate times the probability of alarm if intrusion, which is the true positive rate, divided by the total probability of alarm, that gives 0.69. So that's bad, which means in two-thirds of the cases, it will be really for an attack, but in one-third of the cases, it will be not attack. Which means if it were a disease test, we would send one-third of the healthy people to the hospital. So that's bad. Yeah. So we should have 99%, something like that. So how can we reach 99%? In two ways. We can improve our false positive rate. We can reduce it significantly, or we can ask the enemy to attack us even more. So that's really crazy idea, but it is theoretically possible. Yeah. So the case D is obviously more interesting. So what is the new false positive rate? So we can call it P1 of alarm if no intrusion. So that's what we don't know. We want to determine that. And the goal, the target PPV, is 0.99. So we put 0.99 here, and we solve this equation in one unknown. This is very easy. So, well, of course, the whole computation is here. The only complicated thing is here is the notation. Otherwise, if you substitute this by x and these constants, then you solve this in 2 minutes. So you get that the new false positive rate should be 0.26%. So 40 times less than what we have now. So can we reduce that 40 times? Well, it must be very difficult. So that's why we are having this base rate, actually. So when we solve this equation in this unknown, P1 of alarm if no intrusion, so that's the new false positive rate that we need in order to reach 99% here. The rest doesn't change. So the base rate 0.21, the two positive rate and the two positive rate and base rate also here, and this is 1 minus base rate. So all these are constants, so we can substitute that with numbers immediately and solve the equation in this variable. So that's primary school task. So we get this as piece of cake. So this is 0.0026. This is the new false positive rate that we have to achieve in order for our Bayesian detection rate to reach 99%. So the question arises, well, in theory, we can do it, but can we do it in practice? So it depends. Very difficult, I would say. And in practice, usually, if this base rate would be even smaller, for example, if this base rate is like 10 to the power of minus 5, what we demonstrated in the class, then the target 0.99 positive predictive value would be reached with even smaller false positives. So this 0.0026 sounds like realistic, but if the base rate is even smaller, then we get some 10 to the power of 9 minus 9 or something. So that's absolutely impossible to reach. That's why we in that case, would have this base rate fallacy. Base rate fallacy, fallacy is an error. Yeah? So base rate fallacy means that if we fix the base rate to be low, which is normal in most cases, then it means that we never reach the probability of intrusion if we get an alarm that is satisfactory. That's why it is called fallacy. So such an IDS cannot work. So we would always have many people sent to the hospital even though they are healthy with such a test. That's why it is called base rate fallacy. That means impossibility of achieving the desired goals with realistic parameters. Okay, now what if we affect the non-realistic parameters, like asking the attacker to attack us more? Okay, so we don't change our system. So we keep the false positive rate at 11% in this case and see what base rate we need to achieve 99% here. So this is the target PPV and this is the variable. Okay, solve the system again in one unknown and we get that it is 0.922. So if 92% of our traffic is attacks, then with this system we really achieve probability of intrusion if alarmed that it is 99%. Now, this is totally unrealistic. So and it never happens. In war, maybe. But in normal usage, it never happens. So this is not possible in practice. Okay, now with the same data, the task 2 says, okay, let's compute the CID. Okay, so if you remember, the CID is this. So the entropy of the input to the IDS minus the entropy of the input if some output fixed, normalized by the entropy of the input. To this end, we have to compute the entropy of the input, H of X. Now, how do we do that? We know these numbers. So true positive, that means true positive rate is easily computable. True negative rate. False positive rate. False negative rate. From this we get all that. Of course, they sum to 1,000. Now, what will be the true positive rate? 0.2, obviously. And what is true positive? When the input is an intrusion and the IDS gives an intrusion. So that's 0.2. So that's the joint probability of intrusion on input and intrusion on output of the IDS. So that's 0.2. Now, no intrusion on input, no intrusion on output, the joint probability is 0.7. That's the true negative rate. Now, intrusion on input, but no intrusion on output, that's false negative rate. It is here 10, so that's 0.01 probability. Okay? Finally, no intrusion on input, but intrusion reported by the IDS, this is the joint probability, 0.09. Now, from these values that are actually taken from the given numbers, we can easily compute the marginal probabilities. So we sum by rows and we sum by columns. So the marginal probability of the output being no intrusion is 0.71. So we sum these two values. So output no intrusion happens if we have either intrusion, no intrusion on input, and intrusion on input but with the false negative rate. No? So we sum up to 0.71, and here what is the marginal probability of intrusion at the output, 0.29, we sum these raw values. Now by column, these are marginal probabilities of input, 0.79 and 0.21. So 0.79, that's the marginal probability, no intrusion. So in 79% of cases, it's really no intrusion. In 21% of cases, it's really an intrusion. Now, both this sum and this sum must be 1, because we don't have any other cases. So these are marginal probabilities. From these, we can easily compute the entropy, you see. So what is the Shannon's entropy, of course. We are interested only in that. We discussed any entropy as a general case, but we are not interested in that in this particular case. So use the formula. That's the definition. So these probabilities are all the probabilities of the experiment, okay? So X, you see? So we are interested in these probabilities, 0.79, 0.21. So probabilities, marginal probabilities of the variable X. Okay, so 0.79 times logarithm of 0.79 plus 0.21 times logarithm of 0.21. Now the logarithm by definition is for the base 2 in Shannon's entropy computation. So we have to compute this logarithm. It's easy to, well, you know this from secondary school, but this is just a reminder. So logarithm for any base is logarithm that we have in tables, like logarithm for the base 10 or logarithm naturalis, divided by the logarithm of this particular base. So it's easy to prove that if you are interested. Well, recall that from the secondary school. You know this. Okay? Now, minus in front of all that, because these logarithms must be negative values, since the argument is smaller than 1. Which means that we get entropy of the input 0.7411. Now, the conditional entropy, for this we need the conditional probabilities. And the conditional probabilities, if we are given joint probabilities and marginal probabilities, we easily compute these conditional probabilities. We just divide the joint probability by the marginal probability of the corresponding variable, so this variable. So we are interested in conditional probability of X if Y. Then we divide the joint probability by the marginal probability of Y variable. Yeah? So from this table, actually, we can summarize. So we can, for the values of X and Y, we either have no intrusion or intrusion. Now the case is no intrusion, no intrusion. No intrusion on input, no intrusion on output. Probability, joint probability is from this table, 0.7. So no intrusion, no intrusion, no intrusion. Similarly, no intrusion on input, intrusion on output, that's actually false positive. So we have 0.09 joint probability. Intrusion on input, no intrusion on output, that's false negative, 0.01 joint probability. And intrusion on input, intrusion on output, 0.2 is the joint probability. Now, how do we get the conditional probabilities? We divide by the marginal probability of the variable y. So for no intrusion, the marginal probability is 0.71. Okay? And for intrusion, 0.29. So that's easy. Which means here is y is no intrusion, so we divide by 0.71. Here it's intrusion, so we divide by 0.29, etc., etc. So we get these conditional probabilities very easily. Now we just substitute these in the formula for conditional entropy. Okay? So we get, this is by definition, so we have these probabilities, we have computed them here. We just substitute that. So what are the cases? Nn, Ni, In, and II. Okay, so Nn, Ni, In, and II. So no intrusion, no intrusion. No intrusion, intrusion. Intrusion, no intrusion, intrusion, intrusion. When we substitute all that, we get that the conditional probability of X if Y is zero, not entropy, conditional entropy of X is if Y is 0.336. Now, the intrusion detection capability in this case is the normalized entropy of input. So, normalized entropy of input minus the conditional entropy of input. So, we normalize by the entropy of input. So, we get for the unconditional entropy, we got 0.7411. For conditional entropy, we got 0.336 divided by the unconditional entropy. So it's 0.55, which is the, it would be bits. So binary units, that's how it was called by Shannon, binit. Okay, so it's not the bit in the sense of our bits. Okay, so this is, but it's actually, no unit on this. So 0.55 is the amount of ground truth that our IDS can detect, which is bad. So it's really bad. So how can we improve that? We can improve the false positive rate, reduce that in this case, obviously. So by at the first glance, I would do that. So this was how to compute CID. Now we can join this with the computation in our exercise number 5, which is very simple. Well, it says do the same, but for a two-component model. So for the same data as in exercise 4, task 1, compute the feature representation capability and the classification information loss of the IDS. Use the simplest possible case. When no true positive or true negative data get the label undecided by the representation algorithm. So no true positive or true negative data get the label undecided. So we can actually show that in a picture. I think it would be more illustrative. So if we get to our two-component model, here. So what the task says, no true positive or true negative data get the label undecided. So this is true negative here, and this is true positive. Now, we said no true positive data can give this, and no true negative data can give this. But when we say true positive or true negative data, we mean this mapping. So from input to output. So true positive would be when we have an attack on input and our IDS gives an attack on output. And the true negative when we have no attack on input and the IDS gives no attack on output. But these do not sum up to 100%. Some of them may be misclassified. Now, how can they be misclassified? Either by when we do the representation. Well, when we run the representation algorithm, we get either here or there. So both cases can give true positive, you see, or false positive. So they can give positive, which means that not all the cases of here that are no attacks here will get to this. Some of them will get here. Now, how can we convert this in numbers? Well, the numbers that are given from the IDS are these, the same. So, here is very well explained. So, we first compute the marginal probabilities of input and output signals of the representation algorithm in the cluster. So, we take the first component here. You see, we have two values for the input, but unlike the previous case, three values for the output. Now, what happens? We may have no attack, And by the condition that we have stated in our task, we say that no true negative can give the undecided. So if we have, this is the true negative, so the probability that you get the intrusion on the on the output of the representation algorithm, if it is really true negative, if it is really negative, is zero. It will never happen. So that's what our condition says. Also for the intrusion. So remember, this is the representation algorithm, not the whole ideas. Okay? So for the whole intrusion, if we have really an intrusion, then the representation algorithm will not be able to give no intrusion here. It can give undecided, but not no intrusion. Here the same. If we don't have an intrusion, the representation algorithm will never give intrusion. It will give undecided, if not this. So it's all written here. Yeah? So that's what we mean by this condition. The simplest possible case where no true positive or true negative data get the label undecided, because these are true negative and these are true positive. Okay, so those that really happen.
This undecided is having value. U is for undecided, right?
U is undecided.
Yeah, I was thinking there should be no value here.
Because you are thinking about the whole ideas. I'm thinking about the representation algorithm. So that's the difference. Yeah, okay. Well, once we obtain this table, the rest of the computation is the same as with CID. But you have to understand how to get these values in the table. No? So, by definition of the representation algorithm, it is impossible to label the output intrusion if the input is normal. So if the input is normal, then it will be either normal or undecided. Okay? If the input is abnormal, it will be either undecided or abnormal, but never normal. So the very representation algorithm cannot map, and it's given here. You cannot get this diagonal or this diagonal from the representation algorithm. This will never happen. Okay, then, given these numbers, well, compute the marginal probabilities, as before, and then compute the entropy of the input, since this has not changed compared to the previous task. This h of x will be the same as in the previous task. This will not change. But this will change, the conditional probabilities. You have now more outputs. You see, the Z output is from the representation algorithm. It's not before, it was just N or I. Now it's N or U or I. So what are the possibilities? Also taken from this table. You can have N on input. On output, you can have N or U or I. You can have I on input. On output, N or U or I. But remember that these are zero. Okay, that's why we don't have, we didn't put all those that are zero. That's why we have equal number of cases as before. So even though we have more cases in theory, but in practice these two are zero, so have probability zero, so we don't take them. Okay, so we have the conditional probabilities obtained the same way. So the probability of X if Z is the probability, joint probability divided by the marginal probability of Z, and the marginal probability of Z is these three. So sometimes we divide by 0.7 because Z is N. Sometimes we divide by 0.1 because the N is Z is U. And sometimes we divide by 0.2 because Z is I. So you see we have three possible values here. Before it was 2 for CID. So we get these, you see, this value and this value, they must be 1. Okay? Because if the output is of the representation algorithm is normal, then this probability is 1. If it is abnormal, it's also 1 because of the impossibility of that diagonal there. Okay? Now, from these values, you really easily compute the conditional probability x if z, the conditional entropy x if z. So just substitute the values. The probability of no intrusion, times logarithm of probability of no intrusion, if no intrusion. Then nu, nu, iu, iu, ii, ii. So also 4 cases. The others are 0. You see? Have 0 probability. Otherwise, it would be 6 possibilities. And then this is h of x if z. And this is 0.0469, which sounds like good, because when you substitute that from the original unconditional entropy and normalize with the unconditional entropy, you will get almost 1. So CR is 0.937. And you remember CID was 0.55. Yeah, now, you see, CR actually is the upper bound for CID. So if you have so good representation algorithm, and why is it good? Because we limited ourselves to the simplest case, you see, where we don't have this. Yeah. No true positive, true negative, etc., etc. So this is to illustrate how good the feature representation algorithm can be. Now, how can we compute the classification of information loss? Use the theorem that we had in the class. This theorem. So otherwise, if you want this, that will be difficult. So we have computed CR, we have computed CID, we easily get LC. So that's just one subtraction. So it's 0.387. It's terrible. So the classification information loss is, the classifier is bad. So we have not trained it well, probably, if it is machine learning classifier or if it's clustering, it's even that is really bad, even for the clustering procedure. So this is too much. So we have to improve. So the question is, why are we doing this? CID is bad. So why is it bad? Which component contributes to this badness? It's not the presentation algorithm, it's actually the classification algorithm. So that's the answer. Which is the end of our exercise and the end of our course. Now, regarding the exam, there will be the trial exam a bit before December 1st. So in the week before. Okay? So I'll put it on Blackboard. It will illustrate the difficulty of the exam. Doesn't mean that the questions will be, they will be of that type. So there will be some theoretical and practical, because this year we are probably going to have normal exam, which means with physical presence. In that case, we can ask the theoretical questions, not only the computational tasks, as we did during the epidemic. Now, the exam takes place on December 1st, and that's a 5-hour written exam. So you will get several tasks. The 5 hours, yes.
I have 2 courses on that day, 2. Wireless and...
No. It doesn't apply to PhD students.
Okay.
You are a PhD student. For the MAR, that's my mistake. So trial exam doesn't apply to you either. So a trial exam is the trial exam for the written exam, which is 5 hours exam for the master students. And the PhD students, they have oral exam on December 1st and the project that is due 18th of November. Yeah. Now, the project is, of course, uploaded in Inspera and the oral exam is physical, so in my office. Now, the master students, they have 5 hours written exam. And this exam will contain theoretical and practical tasks. And it will be with physical presence. All the questions will be in Inspera. But I think the exam office, they organize that since we have calculations as well on that exam. If you do the calculations in Inspera, that's too slow. That's for the master students. So probably it will be done, the calculation, you can do it in Inspera if you like, but you waste time. So much better is to write calculations on paper and then scan. They have a scanner. Yeah, and then upload as a PDF file. So that's something that we have done many years, for many years, so it should not be a problem. The students are actually familiar to that. So that will be all. If you have any questions, you can always send me an email, or if you think that it is of general interest, you can put it in Piazza. Then when I answer in Piazza, everybody will see that. If you put it in an email, then only you will see the answer. Okay, so that will be all for today and for this course.
Okay, I thought you said it was some